in times of confusion, adhere to bedrock principles. Keep right. When in doubt, let conscience light the way. Keep right. Amidst cultural confusion, reflect upon our history. Keep right. Keep right with Ralph K. Gennorio.
The chattering classes, of whom I'm a charter member, promised a red wave in the 2022 midterm elections. The signs were all there. It was the first midterm of a new president, a time with the worst inflation since Jimmy Carter, and a time with the weakest foreign policy since that same failed president. Our supplies are in greater jeopardy than since U-boats prowled the North Atlantic. Our elites have done all of this purposefully to starve us of the energy resources that make possible our first world lifestyle. This either because they are climate cultists or worse, because they want to perform a great reset that would place the world at the disposal of Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and the World Economic Forum. Our border has been made into a welcome mat, inviting hordes of unassimilated invaders from third world hellscapes. Our cities are overwhelmed by the mentally ill homeless and run by the morally bankrupt enablers of surging street crime. Willfully tyrannical COVID policies needlessly caused the deaths of countless suicides, as well as those vulnerable in nursing homes where COVID patients were sometimes contained. Test case after test case for the suspension of civil liberties were played out. Our free market economy was strangled. The 22 midterms were supposed to be the moment when the American people stood up and said, enough is enough. This devolution into third world anarchy must stop right now. I thought that this would be our defining moment as a people when Americans stood up for our freedoms, our culture, and our Constitution in the most unambiguous fashion in generations. Yet despite all of this, our hopes for a red wave became a mere ripple. Now, all of us who crave the restoration of our republic must struggle to understand why this did not materialize. If we don't wrestle with the why of this, we are lost. Our republic may collapse, our Western civilization may fail, and a new universal totalitarianism or dark age may envelop the world. The consequences of failure are indeed that dire. Here is my insight. We are too far gone to finesse this system around the edges. A normal election is not up to the task of turning this tide back to freedom. The federal government has become too partisan, federal law enforcement too willing to be an ideologically driven political gendarmerie, and bureaucracies too compromised by corruption to remain trustworthy. I no longer trust in the legitimacy of our elections. Even the U.S. military is being reoriented away from preparing to protect us from communist China to instead target whatever the federal government deems to be domestic terrorism. What should be an apolitical, permanent bureaucracy has been annexed by the left. Our government is joining the fallen institutions of the legacy media, academia, K-12 public education, multinational corporations, international banking, and the healthcare establishment. Every single one of these former bulwarks of freedom have aggressively acted to deconstruct the West. This has happened because of the increasing decadence of the citizens of the Western world. Mainstream educational philosophy and government welfare policy have dovetailed with a debased popular culture to create generations, that's plural, who know little beyond their preferred entertainments. These least common denominators embrace raw sensation and abandon life and hope. They are unfit for freedom and are incapable of productive resurgence after hitting rock bottom. Bred and schooled to be brittle, vast numbers of our fellow Americans seem desperate for Big Daddy government to enable their perpetual infantilization. This grim picture is not universal, but broken families, failed Christian churches, and deteriorating civic associations like volunteer fire departments and the Elks Club have left people isolated and bereft of positive relationships. Seemingly everywhere, human dignity is attacked as an outmoded pipe dream. When human beings made in the image of God are redefined into being merely human resources at the disposal of the mediocre collective, the inner strengths that make people capable of winning and preserving real freedom wither and die. This is our problem. It requires more than a latter-day Tea Party. It is about faith more than it is about politics or ideology. Unless we are graced by a new great awakening, we cannot win back our freedom. Great awakenings are positive, populist, grassroots religious movements that inspire common people to slough off the muck that has been made of their lives. As if countless individuals simultaneously hit rock bottom and realize the absolute need to reform themselves, people come together to insist that they and their society become something better. John Wesley led a movement like this in Britain. Lord William Wilberforce rode his version of a Great Awakening to make the British Empire the greatest force against global slavery in human history. In the 13 colonies, our first Great Awakening led directly to the moral courage and philosophical clarity necessary to launch and win the American Revolution. The second Great Awakening brought abolitionism to such prominence that Lincoln was elected and a civil war was fought to set all men free. A third Great Awakening, though tainted by socialism, led to the Civil Rights Law of 1964 and the end of Jim Crow. Despite this socialist taint, our republic turned against the casual racialism that tinges all human societies. We are better for it. Churches must either lead the way or encourage such a great awakening today. This means that right now, Christians of all denominations must reconsider our toleration for the twin heresies of fundamentalism and liberation theology. Christ and his example must guide us. The concept that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are oriented towards Americanism or conservatism on the fundamentalist side, and social justice or communism on the liberation theology side, must both be rejected. Just as the vain Sanhedrin and Pharisees of Christ's day needed to hear that Yahweh was not an Israelite, we must restore a church of God and reject churches that suit our personal predilections. God is not ours. We are his. We must restore humility to Christianity. We can live in faith on God's terms and not our own. We can be living examples of a life lived in earnest hope that transcends the crabbed reasonings of this world, which can only end in despair. We can focus more on salvation than damnation, as if any human could understand who was saved or damned anyway. If we offer our every vanity to God, we might, by his grace, spark a new great awakening that could restore multitudes of hopeless individuals to the light and also, incidentally, save America.
Thank you for listening. Please share and subscribe. Remember, we are each connected to the great Western tradition going back to before Christ and Caesar. It is for us to carry that tradition forward by willingly bearing the burden of eternal vigilance, freedom, is only for the brave.